Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hello, everyone. Patrick Conley with you again here on the Rediscover Hour. Welcome to the program. It's so great to have you with us. And I don't know if you're listening on Friday night, Saturday at noon, or Sunday morning, but you have undoubtedly experienced the precipitation that we have had falling around us. And dare I say, and I'm not going to say it's beginning to look a lot like, because it's not even Thanksgiving yet. And even though the stores are pushing that wonderful feast of the solemnity of the Nativity of our Lord in the stores this day, in the liturgical calendar, we're not quite there yet. We still have Advent, the wonderful, wonderful, beautiful season of Advent to get through, as well as a few weeks before that. And I think it's appropriate and good to mark that it is, however, not long at all until Thanksgiving, though. And I guess that's a good way of beginning and kicking off the program, is Thanksgiving. I have to admit to all of you that that's one of the things I struggle with mightily, is being appropriately grateful for all that God gives. Those who are closest to me, certainly my wife and others, know that this is something that's tough. I imagine, maybe it's me just projecting my own experience on everyone, that it's a tough thing for a lot of people, especially when frustrating situations occur. We get out of sorts, as it were, and then, at least in my experience, I forget to be grateful. And that's not a great thing, especially when our entire earthly lives are really centered around this whole idea of Thanksgiving. The Eucharist itself, a word that itself means giving thanks, Thanksgiving, just putting forth the body and blood of Christ into our hands, into our mouths, into our lives, that Thanksgiving, that great Thanksgiving, that great act of Thanksgiving, the greatest act of Thanksgiving that he offered on the cross is there for us to participate in. And so our whole lives are meant to be wrapped around this source and summit of our Christian life, and giving gratitude to God. And it would be remiss of me to forget to mention those people who have served our country, as we are in Veterans Day weekend as well, especially in all the ways that you have put others first, as St. Paul encourages us to do in his letter to the Philippians. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the things that you have offered. I hope you hear that often. I'm not sure that you do, but I do hope you hear the thank you for your service. Whether you were old enough to be drafted way back in the day, or whether you have voluntarily offered yourself up for that service, we offer you our thanks for that. Also, thank you to those of you who support this local ministry of Relevant Radio. I hope you know that it's not just a local ministry. In fact, later on in the program, we're going to be talking with a couple of our development officers here in local Relevant Radio 1330 AM. Mary May and Karen Freihammer are going to be on the program with us to talk a little bit more about what Relevant Radio means here in the Twin Cities area. But it is a growing ministry, not just nationwide, where you can find us on the airwaves, but worldwide because of the Relevant Radio app. And it is a great ministry that is stretching from sea to sea. And the pledge drive, there's still people available to answer your phone calls. If you'd like to donate any amount that God places on your heart is definitely welcome. That number is 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123. Also, you can donate at any time on the website, which is relevantradio.com. And don't forget to check out the app as well. So thank you. Thank you to all of those of you who give of your hard-earned money to support the outreach of Relevant Radio. Since getting involved with Relevant Radio, I've been very blessed to hear a lot of stories about people whose lives have been touched. And in fact, when I was an RCIA director, I would hear from people that Relevant Radio played a significant part in their own journey in renewing their faith or in coming into the Catholic Church. So I am grateful in many, many ways for the ministry of Relevant Radio. Well, in addition to talking about the effect and impact of Relevant Radio here locally in the Twin Cities area, we are also looking forward to having Sister Lenore Germscheid is going to be on to talk about retirement fund for religious. Boy, you talk about veterans. These are kind of the special forces of the faith today in some ways, I guess. And oftentimes, I don't think we recognize or we take into account how little they live on once they go into retirement. So she's going to talk a little bit more and explain to us about what's actually going on with the Retirement Fund for Religious. And we're going to kick off the program here in just a moment with a very special guest, Archbishop Samir Nassar from Damascus, Syria, is with us in studio, along with Deacon Mickey Friesen, who's the director of the Center for Mission here in the Archdiocese. They're going to talk a little bit about this new relationship that we have as is forming between the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and Damascus, Syria. There's lots of great connections there all over the place. So thank you again for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. As always, we'd like to pause here at the beginning of the program and offer this show up to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So please pray with me as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Going to go into our first break. You won't want to miss this first interview. Archbishop Samir Nassar from the Maronite Archdiocese of Damascus, Syria is here. Stay with us.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Just want to mention again, any of you looking to donate to the Ministry of Relevant Radio, please do feel free to give a call. There are still people available to answer your phone calls and take your donation. 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123, or check out the website relevantradio.com. Joining me now in studio here to talk a little bit about a relationship that has been formed between the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and the Maronite Archdiocese of Damascus, Syria. I will introduce Deacon Mickey Friesen. I think I screwed that up last time you were on the program, Deacon. Sorry about that. But he is the director of the Center for Mission serving the Archdiocese here of St. Paul in Minneapolis. But also, we are very honored to have in studio Archbishop Samir Nassar, who is the Archbishop of the Maronite Archdiocese of Damascus, Syria, consecrated in 2006. And prior to being made a bishop, he served as a parish priest in Beirut, Lebanon for 26 years. He's lived through war in Lebanon, currently living through civil war in Syria, but we're honored to have him in studio. Welcome to the both of you to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Yeah. Deacon, I think we'll start with you. Sure. Lay some groundwork for us about this whole, how did this relationship get started between the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Damascus?
Sure. Good to be here. Back in the fall, maybe like 3 years ago, about this time when the U.S. bishops met, one of the priorities that came out of their meeting was to encourage the diocese, the churches here in the United States, to become more personally engaged with the church in the Middle East. And so when Archbishop Hebda came back here to the Archdiocese, he asked me to see how we could do that. How could we become more personally engaged with the church in the Middle East? And through some contacts with our international relief agencies and our local churches, particularly our Eastern Rite churches, St. Marin's in North Minneapolis, we were led to the church in Damascus, Syria. And to make a very long story short, the day that this came together was on the 25th of January of 2016, which is the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
And that has really inspired and informed this relationship as we've come to know one another, that in the way that St. Paul was converted and came to know the Lord in Damascus, we hope that this relationship of solidarity and sharing faith can be a way for us to deepen our own conversion together. So Archbishop Nassar arrived last night, and we're being acquainted for the very first time. So it's a chance for him to come here and for us to get to know one another personally. And this is a beginning of a week here in the Archdiocese to do that. So we're so happy to have him here.
Yes, wonderful. And on behalf of all the listeners that we have, Archbishop, welcome to the Twin Cities area. We laid out the white carpet for you.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Archbishop, let me ask you, how did the relationship get started from your perspective?
Well, before I answer, I want to tell you first that I like your name, Relevant Radio.
Okay.
Relevant Radio, this means people who listen to you can wake up with a lot of hope and a new Christian life. Very good name. And I want to thanks Archbishop Edba and Deacon McKay and Monsignor Charbel, who gave me the opportunity to come and visit this diocese, the twin.
Yes, that's
city,
right.
City diocese, voila. And I'm surprised with this white color.
Yes.
Since long time.
We got more.
during the war, we have been very isolated and forgotten people. And we had this initiative of friendship coming from your church. And I appreciate a lot. And I prayed a lot. And I take my time before I answer to do what we can do. And now peace is coming back to Syria. We can meet each other and translate this relationship to a very good policy that Deacon talked me about, sharing faith, not only sharing solidarity, but sharing faith from both sides. And I think it's let's leave for the future what can we do in the future, but we start. It's a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beginning, and I hope it could help, and it could help our church also to be seen, to be known outside of Middle East. Voilà.
Mm. Yeah, so I think people might be interested in just a little bit of your personal history there, Archbishop, too. Could you describe for us maybe just your whole process of discerning a vocation to the priesthood and then your eventual elevation to the episcopacy?
Well, in all my life, I never had the decision. I didn't decide anything myself.
Mm.
First of all, when I was 9 years old, my father asked me, "Do you want to be a priest, Samir?" I told him, "Yes." And he sent me to the small, little seminary. So, and I follow the way.
So you began seminary when you were 10, is that what you're saying?
Nine to 10.
Okay.
So I don't know if I... it was the family vocation more than personal vocations.
Okay.
My family were Catholic and very prayful and very practiced. So they sent me to the seminary when I was... 10 years old, and I stayed inside, and I was happy, and now I am 68 years old. If I have to start again, I will choose the same way.
Oh, excellent.
So I have been, I did my seminary in Lebanon, in the Jesuit University, and then in Lyon, France, And after that, during the Lebanese war, I was a parish priest in a very poor area on the north of Beirut with most of refugees. So I spent my life in war in Syria, in Lebanon, and now in Syria since 8 years. And I didn't ask to be a bishop. You know, our synod chose me to be Archbishop of Damascus after the former bishop resigned for he has 75 years old. And so they sent me to Damascus, and Damascus, it's a very important city, a very important city, because in Damascus St. Paul has been converted and baptized.
Yeah.
That means the church in Damascus exists before St. Paul.
I guess that makes sense. That's right. I didn't think about that.
It's a very, very, very old church. Mm. Very old church. I was really proud and happy to come to this ministry. Not very easy, but because the Christian in Syria, we have been maybe majority sometimes, but now we are only maybe not more than 5%. A very few number. It's very difficult. A few number, I mean, not 5% of Catholic. And if, from this 5%, there is 60% who are Orthodox and 40% are Catholic. And we are minority in the minority.
Yes, right.
It's not easy. We have a few people. We have few... We have something very good, you know. It gives us some hope, like you, the name of your radio, Relevant. Mm-hmm. We are Relevant Church. We have a lot of vocations. We still have a lot of vocations. And this is a good sign for the future. And also, we have the family. The family is still unit, still one, and still solidaire. And this is a good sign. And we have good families, and we have many seminarians.
Mm-hmm.
So this is two signs who push us to look the future with a big hope.
Mm. Voilà. Absolutely. So, Deacon, was it? You were starting to refer to the fact that the things started coming together right around the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. Obviously, there's connections there. I mean, patron of our archdiocese, the patron of our capital city here in St. Paul. And St. Paul, as Archbishop mentioned, was converted on the road to Damascus as well. Was that kind of a leading edge, or what were some of the other factors in thinking, well, maybe we should consider forming a relationship with specifically with Damascus?
Yeah, well, we are the only archdiocese in the United States named after St. Paul.
Okay.
And as we were open to where we might be led in some sort of a partnership, the people that recommended Damascus to us as a possible partner, they didn't know each other, but they both recommended Damascus. And I think that very much inspired me, for sure, and it does inspire this a partnership. I was just reading again the story of the baptism of St. Paul, and at the very end it says that he was able to give encouragement and strength. And I think that's what this relationship is that we get a chance to experience our Catholicity in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm.
And in sharing our faith and sharing our story and solidarity, we all can be converted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can all be encouraged in our own faith. So that's really what this is. It's a chance for us to deepen that. And we were talking beforehand and how a church from Minnesota and a church from Damascus coming together, what witness does that give to the world?
Yeah.
And we believe there's a witness of Catholics who transcend national borders and the ways that we are separated. We have a witness together that can transcend that. So we hope that this relationship can be a witness to ourselves, but to the world beyond us, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that encouragement that you were talking about there, Deacon. Now you've just arrived, Archbishop, so you're gonna be starting to see some of the ways, and you have some public events which we'll get to in just a moment. We'll highlight that and see if people want to come out and meet you. But you'll see some of the ways. I think you'll get an idea of the lay of the land here and what ways that the church in Damascus can offer encouragement to us. What are some of the needs there in the church in Damascus right now?
You know. The military part of the war started to finish by end of April, and we lost many persons. I had a seminarian killed. We have four priests martyrs in this war, and we still have two bishops missed, and I could be myself martyr or dead. I had a bomb on my bed January 8th of this year.
Wow.
And I could be die in the Lebanese war, or I was always living in a very dangerous area. So the Lord saved me. That means He wants me to follow the mission. During this war, 8 years, it was too long and too strong and too difficult. We had our people left. We have many refugees of our families, and we wait 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and it doesn't finish. So we decide to move, to follow them, and we decide on 2014 to have chapels where the people live, because they don't go anymore. They can't come to the church because of the war, because of the bomb. So we decide to have three chapels in the area where they live, in the borough of Damascus, and I send a priest to celebrate Mass where the people live. This is one of our priorities. We have a very difficult life, in social life, in material life. Our families are very poor, and most of them left the country, in the Syrian family, in the Syrian war. Yani Syria, it's 23 million or 24 million people. We have more than 12 million refugees. Mm-hmm. 12 million, that means America is 300 million, maybe more. That means you have 150 million refugees. They lost their house, they lost everything. Yani you can imagine how apocalyptic is this war. Very difficult. We don't speak, we don't have media who relate these difficulties. We live there, we are very small churches. We have a few people who help us. Deacon Mike Mikhail, he told me they are in this diocese 100 deacons, helpers.
Yeah.
We don't have lay people very well qualified to deal, to help, and to work in this church, and to work with the poor. So our difficulties is the we don't have cadre. People who are training to follow projects. We need to form. We are doing to do that now. We have CRS of America is helping us to train our young people how to be administrator of a project or to do something in the public life. This is a very... And we need also to get our families who left back to rebuild Syria. And we still have the peace, Syria, it's not a local war. It's an international war. It's like the Pope Francis, he told that. It's international war. Because you have at least 85 countries who are fighting in Syria. Mm. It's not only government and opposition. It's 85 countries who did the war in Syria, who still have some part of war on Syria. So we need to find the peace again. We still wait and pray for that peace coming. If the peace is not coming, all effort we can do doesn't give any good result, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the tasks seem monumental, but as our Lord Himself said, right, anyone with faith, even the size of a grain of mustard seed, will say to this mountain, move, and that mountain will move. Well, I'm Definitely all of us will be in prayer for this relationship and how we might mutually support, encourage one another. I did want to hit, before we let you go, Archbishop, some of your public appearances here. If you are listening here on Friday, I think we've got a Mass coming up here.
Yeah,
Friday, November 9th, 5:15 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. There'll be Mass there. There's a presentation tonight here, Friday, November 9th at 7:30 at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. Saturday, November 10th, 11 a.m. in St. Paul in Zimbrota. Sunday, November 11th, 10:15 at St. Maron Maronite Church in Minneapolis. Wednesday, November 14th, 7 p.m. at St. Maron's again. An ecumenical prayer service will be going on that day. Thursday, November 15th at 11:45 a.m. at University of St. Thomas. There'll be a lecture there. And then Thursday, November 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the University of St. Thomas, yet another lecture. It's truly a privilege to have you in our midst here, Archbishop, and I'm wondering, just before we need to let you go, our time has run short, but I'm wondering if you would be willing to give a blessing to all the people who are listening here on the radio.
Of course. First of all, I want to thank you for welcoming me and for all this program. Very heavy program. I try. I will try.
We'll pray for you if you pray for us.
We need your prayer. We need your prayer for the peace first. Mm. Yeah, and solidarity is good, but if we don't have peace, the solidarity can't arrive. You know, we have a problem. We are under blockade. You know, nobody can send anything to Syria. Mm. We are blocking under now to send any donation. He has to come to Deacon Mickey to send it to St. Louis, from to our patriarch and patriarch. Mm. It takes 2-3 months. We need a peace. We need a peace to rebuild the country. And I hope I will give you the blessing for you and for all the auditors.
Please.
And for this relevant radio in my liturgy. بركة ربنا يسوع المسيح تأتي من السماء تحل علي وعليكم جميعا تغفر ذنوبكم تمحو خطاياكم تشفي مرضاكم وترح نفوس موتاكم وتدون أسماءكم في سفر ملكوته السماوي والله يقذنا وإياكم من الخزي والخجل يوم الدين العادي المستقيم الآب والابن والروح القدس له المجد إلى الأبد آمين
آمين شكرا كثير
مرسي
على وصلنا to Minnesota
مرسي باتريك
great to have
Paul
you with us
and Deacon
yes yeah absolutely مرسي. Archbishop Samir Nassar
and I don't have this program
he will you I'm sure you will be carted around from one place to another Archbishop well it's great to have you again here in our midst Deacon Mickey great to see you as
thank
always
thank you for having me
yeah,
having we'll, us there
we'll have you back again. As we continue to roll on and as we pray for the Archbishop, we also have the religious to pray for. And joining me now over the phone, Sister Lenore Germscheid is with us to talk a little bit more about the Retirement Fund for Religious. Sister, are you there?
I am.
Wonderful.
Good
and did I get your name right, Lenore Germscheid?
Lenore, that's correct.
That's wonderful. Yes,
thank you. I'm the school sister of Notre Dame, but I certainly am happy to work on behalf of all the men and religious, not only in our area, but as you know, this is a national collection supported and initiated by our bishops of the country. So we're very grateful that this can continue among the people of God.
Yes, wonderful. Well, you know, I was just looking over some stats, and it's going to be this year's collection is going to be held December 8th and 9th. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, typically it's during Advent. So this will be the second Sunday of Advent, but it does continue. The national office hopes they like to close their books in spring, so we would offer the appeal opportunities through mid-February, so
okay.
that we can manage all the gifts that we're going to receive.
right, but, all the wonderful gifts, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So who does the Retirement Fund for Religious benefit? Can you spell that out a little bit more exhaustively?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, the thing that I have always found so, I don't mean just to say just fair in terms of being even, but I think it's a brilliant idea in the sense that it's a funding that is done through grants. And so these grants are created, and the amounts of them are determined what they call, the national office calls, a retirement needs analysis. So it's a very fair distribution, and it really helps those communities that are in greater need. So it's based on communities' demographics, their current cost of care, and the assets they already have available for retirement. So some communities, like the Sisters of St. Joseph, are very supportive of this collection and give appeal talks and so on, even though they would not have the same needs that another community might. Mm. You know, it just all depends on some of our history and our the works that we were involved in. Many of us did not get actual salaries in the past. They were more stipend-based, so the level of Social Security now is very low. So there's just various needs. But the other thing that I think is so wonderful about this is that they're very astute, I think, in using the funding and the gifts that we receive in a very helpful way. Like for young communities, I'm thinking, for example, in our area, the Franciscan Brothers of Peace, if they want to, they can apply for funds that help them to plan for the future. So there's all sorts of financial planning and educational possibilities that people can be helped with to do their own planning and be more prepared for their retirement. And, you know, some of the, I don't know about for sure, some, but I would imagine some of the younger communities we have in our area of women religious as well. So it's a wonderful use of the great gifts that we have been given for 31 years now. And as our needs have changed, so it's I don't mean to say be glib about it, but it's such so much more than a handout. It's, I think many people look at this as a way to, as we keep saying on our posters and so on, that this is a way to give to those who have given a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think, obviously, of just the needs of our world and our church, these are people, men and women religious, who have been the forerunners, the educators, the hospital administrators, the people that have served and continue to serve so many social needs of our needy world.
Oftentimes without a salary, too.
Yes, right. It was all stipend-based. And, it was part of a time of history. Certainly, I think there's many dedicated men and women religious who would, I mean, that's just the way you would have given your life and been generous. And, you know, I'm in that era where I would have had the experience of the years where we had to start to negotiate salaries and so on. And it's a very challenging kind of position to be put in. So it's nice to have that kind of phase be a little more even now. But the other thing about all of this is it's not only a way to support, I think, sisters and priests and religious brothers and sisters that have healthcare needs now, but the more that those needs can be supported in a more balanced way, it can continue to support the active ministries of people who are in their retirement years, but still very active in ministry. So it spans all generations, and I think that's what people in the pew get. This is a way to continue to support the influence, the care, the leadership, the prayers of all of our brothers and sisters in religious life, whatever stage of life, and a way to honor that. The way we honor people, we respect them at all stages of life. So I hope when we go out to talk or when we, again, reflect with people about this collection, that it's seen as something in a, I suppose, like you say, it's a paved forward kind of concept. But to offer people opportunities, I think people really are looking for ways and needs that they may not even be aware of. So it's been a great blessing, I think, to our church also to have a mutual beneficiary here.
Well, absolutely. And I guess it just runs through my mind that as members of the church, we are all, as St. Paul reminds us, we're members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
When one part suffers, all are meant to suffer along with it, and we're meant to look out for one another's needs. And certainly I would say in my own family, if an elderly member of my family came to me and said, you know, I'm having a hard time making ends meet here in my old age, can you help me out? I would hope that I would be in a position to be able to say yes.
Yes, yes, right. Well, and we want, you know, as religious, we want to do that for each other, right? I mean, I think in one way, that's why we have so many people who are involved in this and are willing to speak, or for myself, I'm thrilled that we can continue to be part of this work as coordinators. School Sisters of Notre Dame and Sisters of St. Joseph have in the past been coordinators, and so it's a real privilege to be part of all of that. The other thing that I'm finding, and as I get into this position more, I have not been aware of the wonderful work that's being done, certainly through the Catholic Community Foundation, but enabling people to support the religious retirement through their estate planning and their family fund, charitable giving. So that's been a real wonderful support, and that's something I'm going to talk more to when I have a chance this season now to speak to parishioners to consider giving to the Religious Retirement Fund in their own future estate planning, because that's such a gift in the future. If they can't even consider it today, it's still going to continue to be an ongoing need for the future.
Makes wonderful sense to me. Sister, I have here that last year, well, in the last collection, this is, the Archdiocese here of St. Paul, Minneapolis, donated just over $482,000 to the Retirement Fund for Religious, which is, to me, that seems like a generous gift. Any hopes for what your hopes are or goals are for this year in terms of the collection?
You know, you're talking to somebody who just began this work in August, so I'm trying not to feel it. But we were so blessed. It's one of those things where our fiscal year is a different timeline than the national offices.
Sure.
So actually, the Archdiocese gifts included another 200. I got the exact amount here: $263,438.
Oh, wow!
Besides the other almost $500,000. So. And we also received, as I mentioned with some of the work through Catholic Community Foundation, a bequest of almost $150,000. So I think we should be looking at a solid, you know, close to $600,000, because that $300,000 will be applied to this year's because it came in after the national office closed their books. So, but again, from what I understand from past coordinators, the Archdiocese has typically given between $400,000 and $500,000. So it's been a very generous response. And I'd like to say we're not among, you know, we're among some of the larger archdioceses, but not the Catholic Spirit has an article about the retirement fund and explains a little bit more of that in this week's issue. But again, I think we have that spirit of generosity, and I think, I don't know if you even want to call it astute. I mean, people know this is the money that is going to be well invested.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we men and women religious take this as a trust and, you know, something that we're going to keep doing the work of God as we're called and as we can, no matter what age. And there are younger people and people with a lot of energy that has nothing to do with numbers of age, you know. So I think it's a healthy collection for a healthy and worthy cause. And to me, it's just very exciting to be able to facilitate that.
Wonderful. Well, before we let you go, Sister, of course, we'll need to ask you. So if somebody wants to find out more, if they want to make their donation early, can they do that? And where should they go?
Oh, certainly. Well, I can be contacted through the Archdiocese. I have an office at the Chancery, and the collection, the national office sees that posters and the donation envelopes do get to the parishes. But would a phone number be helpful?
Sure. Yeah.
651-290-1603. I feel like NPR. Call 651-290-1603. And if I can quote the Little Sisters, I love this when they do their wonderful work and begging for that work. And they say, you know, you can just sign the check and we'll fill out the rest. So we keep saying any gift is any not too small, and it should never be too large.
So right.
We appreciate any support and are very, very grateful.
All right. Well, you hear that, folks. So get your blank checks ready for the Retirement Fund of Religious Collection, December 8th and 9th here at the Archdiocese of St. Paul. Sister Lenore, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for having me too, Patrick.
Yeah, God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the reach here of Relevant Radio locally. Mary May and Karen Fryhammer are with us, so stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Connolly with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And here we are in the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios, as we always are here for the Rediscover Hour. And joining us are two people who, if you wandered into the office, you are likely to see at least one of them hanging around here. But if not, you may not be familiar with Karen Fryhammer, who is the Senior Director of Advancement at Relevant Radio, and then Mary May, the Advancement Director at Relevant Radio Twin Cities. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you very much, Patrick. It's great to be here.
Good to have you on. Now, we're just wrapping up a pledge drive week here with Relevant Radio, but before we get into all that, Karen, I thought maybe you could give us a little bit of the history of Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I would love to. The history of Relevant Radio is really the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit doing amazing things and us trying to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit doing amazing things.
I understand that.
I think a great illustration of Relevant Radio is I wanted to share a testimony. This is the work of the Holy Spirit and a fruit of so many of our listeners that have made this possible. This is a soul they have touched. And I wonder, Patrick, if you can keep count for me, how many lives in our listeners, how many lives are touched by through this one person?
Probably not, but okay.
So she counts as one person, and she talks about her kids. She doesn't give the number. Let's say that's two. Okay. So since listening to the Patrick Madrid show, which is on Relevant Radio.
Another Patrick,
another evangelizer, Patrick. My faith and prayer life have grown into something beautiful. The best part is the effect it has had on my family. My husband now attends Mass and, God willing, will become Catholic soon. Both my parents have gone to confession after many years and now attend Mass. My sister's husband, who was an atheist, is also attending Mass and talking about baptism of my nephew. My Pentecostal mother-in-law told us she believes in the real presence. My kids ask me about the Sacrament of Reconciliation and when they can go. Wow. Your show on Relevant Radio has truly helped my family.
Wow. I came up with nine.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Just through one listener.
Through one listener. And so much of this, when we look at the history of Relevant Radio, we look, so much of our story is entwined with the story of Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II. And you'll recall that in 1993, he was here for World Youth Day in Denver. And people thought, oh, there'll be little turnout. Denver, not too exciting. Well, a million youth showed up. And in that audience was Doug Sherman, who became the founder of Immaculate Heart Radio, and Father Francis Hoffman, better known as Father Rocky, newly ordained, 33 years old, was there. And Pope John Paul II was so inspired. He really, we can look to a turning point, I think, in our country for evangelization. Mm-hmm. And he said, go out into the highways, shout the gospel from the rooftop, go into the metropolis, don't be afraid to share the good news. And the people were just energized and inspired. Well, Doug Sherman went back to where he lived in Lake Tahoe in 1993 and bought a radio station. Mm. And 3 years later in Green Bay, with that same inspiration to follow the new evangelization, a station was acquired in Green Bay. And they thought, fine, we each have our radio stations, we're good. But no, the Holy Spirit, there's more work to be done. And put it on their hearts to expand. And pretty soon, the station on the West Coast, Immaculate Heart Radio, acquired a station in Los Angeles and San Francisco, San Diego, and then Phoenix. And then the Green Bay Relevant Radio side acquired Chicago and then New York. And eventually, in 2017, these two radio networks merged. Mm-hmm. Doug Sherman and Father Rocky, who had been at that World Day Youth Conference, we're talking about a merger. Mm-hmm. And now we're coast to coast. The two networks have merged, and the platform has raised a new significance and new prominence in the media world, being able to proclaim the gospel just as John Paul II encouraged us to do.
That's amazing. And with the app, as I mentioned earlier in the program, I mean, it's going beyond just the coasts of the U.S.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
But it's also had a profound influence here in the Twin Cities. And Mary, maybe you can say a word or two about that, about the influence of Relevant Radio here in the Twin Cities.
Well, we've really seen growth in people who know about Relevant Radio, share it with their friends, bumper stickers on cars around town, events that are promoted on the radio. People hear about them and they attend, they meet others who are Relevant Radio listeners, and automatically there's a connection. It's like you've met a family member when you run into someone who also listens to Relevant Radio. And we know that these people are more engaged in their parishes. There's actually statistics, surveys that have been done. 47% of those who listen to Catholic radio attend Mass more regularly. So we're literally bringing the masses to Mass. Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference in the community. The whole Catholic world is growing, is enriched. We've seen a blossoming of vocations here. We have the largest college seminary in the country, overflowing attendance at our St. Paul Seminary as well. And I truly believe that that in part is due to Catholic radio. We're connecting people. They're being encouraged in their faith. They're excited and want to share the good news. And so many people who listen are also non-Catholic. Mm-hmm. We hear that all the time. And I just was talking to a parish pastor the other day. He said this young man has been coming with questions to him. He's not Catholic, but he lives in the area and he's hearing things on Relevant Radio. And so he wants to kind of flesh these things out with him and is considering entering RCIA. Mm-hmm. And that's just one of many stories like that.
Yeah, I think I've referred a number of people to you who, through my work as an RCIA director, who had said that Relevant Radio was again, a significant part of their own journey into the Catholic Church. So, yep, it's having a tremendous impact that way. And I do agree that it does bring people together around a common cause. I will say, I used to be a little sheepish about having my bumper sticker on because of the way I drive, not because I was embarrassed about Relevant Radio.
Yeah,
but I thought,
yes.
But now it's on there, and I'm mindful of it. But I also, when I see another Relevant Radio bumper sticker, I'm thinking, yep, there's another brother or sister in the faith. Karen, back to you. Where are we going? What's some of the vision that's out there for Relevant Radio?
All right. And so quick before I get to that, we do have our pledge drive still going on.
That's correct. Let's talk about that.
Being a development director, I'd be amiss not to say, don't forget the number, 877-291-0123, to help us with our vision as we go forward. And there's our bumper sticker. You can request one at that number too. So approximately 750 1,000 people listen, tune into Relevant Radio coast to coast. And our goal is to have 3 million people tune in coast to coast.
That's a significant goal.
The significant goal, and the reason for that is approximately 30 million of all Catholics in the United States attend Mass. And if 10% of those people could dive in a little deeper and get that daily formation and figure out how am I going to bring the gospel to my family and do that with that radio family and with the experts and the wonderful people that listeners able to provide and have online and on the radio, that we can grow as disciples, that we can deepen in discipleship, that we can become a better evangelizers in the workplace. So we're going to do that through parish ambassadors, volunteer ambassadors, getting people in the pews, and also through Spanish radio. We're hoping to have Spanish radio soon. That's our vision.
Wow. That's exciting. I'm afraid that might push me out of a slot then.
Oh, no. We'll have both. We'll have both. But okay. you can just sharpen up your Spanish-speaking skills.
I better get working on that right now. Yes. All right. Mary, we have this wonderful, I've been privileged to be in attendance here at least the last couple of years at the Christ Brings Hope banquet every year as well, which is well put together and just due in very large part to your own efforts. But we've got another one coming up here. Not until 2019.
We do, yes.
When is it going to be?
So we're very excited and blessed to honor Archbishop Bernard Hebda this year.
Wonderful.
It's our 8th annual Christ Brings Hope banquet. It will be on Friday, April 26th of 2019. That's the Friday after Easter. Easter's quite late this coming spring. And we want to make sure we have it at a time when people are not going busy with family, graduations and that sort of thing. So week of Easter, have it on your calendar. You'll be hearing more about it on our local station here. And we would love everyone to come and help us honor our great shepherd.
Well, you've been packing the house here the last few years, haven't you, with this banquet? I mean, it looks, I can't see a empty seat in the house.
Well, we have a little secret here as far as how we can add a few more seats.
Okay.
So we'll be sharing more about that. But
yeah,
we already have people have told us they are planning to come. It's on their calendar. And so when tickets are available, you'll want to go online and get your registration in very quickly.
Excited.
Yeah, we'll be able to squeeze in a few more people. So
well, absolutely. No, I don't say that to deter people. I just think that it's been great, the number of people that are showing up.
Very encouraging.
Especially since Archbishop Hebda has been such a blessing to our community here. I can only imagine that there's going to be a lot more interest, even in this year, to come and fill up the seats and support Relevant Radio.
And also you get to see our show hosts. We're still confirming the radio personalities that will be with us, but I like to say this sort of banquet, it's a wonderful event for a radio station, because when you're listening, you're always thinking, you know, in your mind, a picture of this person, you hear their voice every day, so then you get to come and actually see, oh, that's Father Simon.
Yep.
This is how he looks in real life.
It's funny you pick that, because Father Simon looks exactly like I pictured him.
Well, he's those who guy. Haven't seen him, come see, and you figure out how, if you think he's more small, petite, or very tall, and
okay.
You might be surprised.
All right, so there's the little tantalizing hook there.
That's right.
So just in the closing minute we have here together with the two of you, any ways that our listeners can join in praying for Relevant Radio, and then we'll hit the number one more time before we say goodbye.
I am so glad you asked, Patrick, because one of the things we really wanted to encourage our listeners to do is join us in our prayer apostolate. That's one of the most important things in our Relevant Radio family. So pray for us. Also, we will pray for you. If you go, you can go online, go to the relevantradio.com, click the Faith tab, and the very first option to select is Prayer Requests, and we will pray individually for your intentions at our chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay, and the Discalced Carmelites nearby pray as well. And we also love to receive your prayer requests when you make a donation, as many people are doing here yet this weekend.
Yep. So, right. Karen, how about you?
Well, as Father Rocky says, everything at Relevant Radio begins and ends in prayer. So again, we bring it back to the Holy Spirit. And so we just ask our listeners to join us, be those partners in praying for the Holy Spirit, that more people can find out about the Lord. And think about being a parish ambassador. You can do that at our website by going to the volunteer tab and find out more about how you can spread the good news in your parish and in your community.
Fantastic. You want to give us the number one more time, Karen?
I'd be happy to. 1-877-291-0123.
Give a call and support Relevant Radio, not just here in the Twin Cities, but across the nation and around the world as the gospel continues to follow, continues to go wherever there are lost and dying souls. So thank you so much, ladies, for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, we're going to go into our final break. When we come back, there'll be all sorts of wonderful community events that Paul and I have to share with you, so hang around. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Discover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Paul, what do you look like?
Well, I've got a face for radio.
No, that makes two of us. Yeah. What do we got going on, Paul?
Well, there will be a miracle healing service with internationally known speaker Damien Stain Saturday evening, November 17th, 7 to 10 p.m. at St. John the Baptist Church in New Brighton. This event is free, open to people of all faiths. In 2014, over 1,200 people came and many experienced healing and experience the love of God in a profound way. If you know someone who needs healing, encourage them to come. For more information, visit CCRO's website, ccro-msp.org, or call 763-571-5314 for more information.
Encounter Christ in the Mass with a four-week Bible study with Father John Eckert starting Wednesdays, November 28th through December 19th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in South St. Paul. Topics will include the theology of the Mass, the organic development and form of the Mass, as well as the liturgical calendar. Participants can expect that the study will enhance their knowledge of and appreciation for the greatest reality on earth. The cost is $20 per person, includes lecture, materials, large group Q&A, and a snack. Register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally Thursday, November 29th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Nicholas in Elko New Market. The evening includes Eucharistic adoration, confession, dinner, presentation by Archbishop Hebda. Free will offering of $10 is suggested but not required. Register online by visiting the events page at rediscover-faith.org or call Enzo Randazzo, RandazzoV at archspm.org.
Begin your Advent season with the Tidings of Comfort and Joy Advent Day of Reflection on Saturday, December 1st from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hear from Father Byron Hagen and Elizabeth Kelly as they speak on the meaning and importance of the Incarnation. The day includes Mass, Confession, Eucharistic Adoration, a light breakfast, and lunch. All are welcome. Space is limited, though, so please register early. To find out more and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. Coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to hear from Steve Lentz, who will talk about how the Office of Evangelization's Mission and Discipleship Series has encouraged him in his prayer life. Also, Ruth Sin, head coach of the University of St. Thomas women's basketball team, about the upcoming Thanksgiving tip-off. And also, Catholic Watchman update from Father Patrick Barnes and Chris McAllister from St. Nicholas and Elko Newmarket. Call 877-291-0123 to support the work of Relevant Radio. And in the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.